Frank, good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for having me on. First of all, let me clarify, I'm not an expert in it. I'm only on the board of the Gold Foundation because my wife started this foundation for kids with Asperger's syndrome, and we're the parents of an Asperger syndrome boy. He's 17 years old now. But further to that, the comments were absolutely appalling by Burke. And looking at that interview and seeing him, there's no way he struck me as being somebody with Asperger's syndrome. We know and how to identify it, and it's easy to see a person with that. They tend to be very shy, awkward, socially inept people, not the type of overtly egocentric people like Don Burke is. And sadly, his comments have now cast a slur on many people out in the community that have Asperger's syndrome and perhaps other forms of autism.
Well, yeah, that's something that I really want to delve into. Just how damaging are these kinds of self-diagnosis claims when used for the purpose of deflecting blame or criticism?
Well, look, he's used the Kevin Spacey defence in a way, I think, to try and deflect the attention that he's been receiving. But then to use a form of autism as a defence, of course it reflects badly on people that actually do have that condition and try and cope with it every day. It's a very difficult condition to cope with if you haven't been diagnosed, because you'd never know that you have it. But it's difficult for those people to cope with on a daily basis. And then to have somebody come out and try and justify his crude, abhorrent behaviour because of that, I mean, you're just going to find that there are going to be kids and adults that are going to be teased and then attacked for their condition. Now, people with Asperger's or a high-functioning form of autism, as I said, tend to be quite awkward and socially inept. These days, more people are being diagnosed with it. There seems to be an epidemic in Australia. 31% of people on the NDIS, which is the highest proportion, are there because of some form of autism. So it's becoming something of a problem within the community that has to be dealt with by health and education authorities. And this sort of stuff just doesn't help. It just does not help people that are genuinely seeking help. Now, you didn't hear Burke say, I'm going to go and seek help for it, or this is what I think I have. I mean, I just don't know where he plucked it from during that interview. But look, it's quite disturbing that he's resorted to that. Because there are a lot of people in the community, a lot of groups in the community that do a lot of work with people with autism, and this isn't the sort of way to shed light on it.
Absolutely not. It's certainly a scary prospect, and seems like something a little bit out of desperation, given all of the various outings of high profile people committing acts of sexual misconduct. This seems like a very, very low last straw. Now, if you've just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking with Frank Pangalo, board member of the Gold Foundation, about Don Burke's recently self-diagnosed Asperger's claims and the condition as a whole. Now, Frank, as a parent of a child living with Asperger's syndrome, can you describe what that experience is like for both you and your child?
Well, look, initially it was very difficult when he was small. When he was 7 years old, we weren't sure what he had. And at that time, 10 years ago, it was still a relatively misunderstood condition that wasn't recognised certainly in the health system. And, we saw some odd, quirky little things with our boy, Connor. They tend to be obsessive about things. And you can see kids, you can almost tell these days if somebody has Asperger's or not. But at the time, we weren't sure. But Connor became obsessed with Thomas the Tank Engines all the time. He always wanted me to read him Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat. And I would read it almost every night for I don't know how long. And he also had this fantastic photographic memory that he could tell me every flag in the world, and he knew it. He could even spell the names of those countries. And but it was only until when he started school, and at the age of about eight, we noticed that he was very shy, awkward, wasn't mixing with young kids at his age. And my wife and I just quietly went to his school just to observe him during lunchtime. It was quite heartbreaking for us because you see all the other kids running around having fun. And Connor was just walking alone, friendless, around the oval repeatedly during the lunch break. And it was then that we thought, well, look, we better get some advice. And we went and saw a couple of psychologists before somebody actually pinpointed what the issue was. My wife then went looking for help and support to see how we can address this. And there was none. And just nowhere we could turn to. And it looked like that Connor was going to fall through the cracks. And she and a group of other mums decided, well, look, let's do something about this. She gathered some others that had Asperger's syndrome. They went and saw some experts in the field, some psychologists and others that drew up these special social skills programs, because that's the biggest drawback for them is their interaction with others. And they started the Gold Foundation. 10 years later, hundreds of kids have gone through it, and they've benefited enormously because of it. My son today, he's now academically, he's brilliant. As many of these Asperger kids are that are high functioning, they tend to be intellectually and academically quite gifted. And it really brought out the best in my son. And, you know, he's just finished his year 12 and he won achievement awards for every subject he did. He, you know, he's an A-plus student. And all because we were able to get in early, have these social intervention programs, and get the kids to actually start to understand the world around them. Because for them, it's either black or it's white. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult for people to understand some of the things that they do or say because their brain works differently. You know, they can be different, but, you know, they're not people to be shunned or even insulted, as, you know, what Don Burke did.
Mm. Yeah, well, it sounds like a fantastic work you're doing with the Gold Foundation. Now, one quick final question for you. Forgoing the obvious setback in the progression of dealing with Asperger's that Don Burke's actions have been, as you mentioned, we're sort of at a period of all-time high in diagnosis in Asperger's, and we've come a long way over the last few years. At the moment, how is progress with dealing with Asperger's in Australia and the world?
Oh, look, it's improving. It's improving now, and you find that there are many groups and organisations out there that are recognising the best way to get some early intervention. The moment you recognise it at an early age, and these days you can, I think psychologists recommend diagnosis about the age of 8, although you can probably recognise it if you're a parent well before then. But from the age of 8, if you pick it up early, you give the kids these social interaction courses and programs for them, and, you know, they start to adjust very well into the community. And, you know, they start to lose their awkwardness and shyness. You know, for example, my son finished work the other day. He finished school about a week ago. And he decided he was going to go out and look for a job. And he applied for a job with the United Nations Refugee Association to be a charity collector for them. And I thought, well, that's an interesting job for you to choose. Why did you do it? He said, because, Dad, I wanted to go mix and talk to people. You know, I wanted to interact with people. And he sees his Asperger's as a gift rather than as a handicap. And look, he's come on in leaps and bounds. It's only because there were intervention programs. And the more of those that we have, the better it is. One in 100 Australians are diagnosed with a form of autism. So you can see that it's becoming quite a problem. There was another, incident that probably went a little bit unnoticed because of Don Burke, was Senator Barry O'Sullivan. I don't know if you caught up with his comments, where he likened banks to their actions as being, autistic in a way and law-breaking. So he's linked autism to law-breaking, which, again, it was certainly done out of ignorance and, again, cast a slur on people with autism. But the other look, there are positives in this because what it's done is it's actually brought this into the open again, and we're having discussions about it, and people who are involved in the treatment of people with autism are able to come forward, and people are now able to recognise what this condition is all about. So there are some benefits apart from, you know, the ones that are, you know, detracting or are negative.
Well, that's right. Lots of positive things happening. It sounds like it's a fantastic progression. And yeah, some of these...
Well, you'd be surprised how many famous people have had Asperger's or have it. And you know, their lives, you know, have been enormously fabulous of what they've done with their careers and whatever. You know, you can go back to Abraham Lincoln, who was diagnosed with, well, apparently had Asperger's syndrome. You know, you've got singers like Susan Boyle. There's actors like Daryl Hannah and Dan Aykroyd. Bill Gates is an example. Bob Dylan. It just goes on. And, you know, and these are brilliant people who are shy and awkward socially. And, but, you know, that doesn't make them monsters like it's been alleged that Don Burke is.
Definitely an important thing to be reiterating at this stage. Frank, thanks so much for your time this morning and all your hard work.
No, thank you for your time and you know, and good luck to all those organisations out there that are putting the message across.